Yes, believe it or not, fascinating pages from the amazing radio sketchbook of that discoverer of dumbfounding, dizzifying, diverse data. And here he is in person, Bob Ripley.
Greetings, everybody. And welcome to my Believe It or Not radio auditorium.
What's the Believe It or Not quiz question for our listeners today, Bob Ripley?
Well, today I'm asking our listeners to tangle intellects with this little teaser, Gregory Abbott. Now, see if you can guess where in the world sneezing is a crime punishable by death.
Are you serious, Bob? Mm-hmm. Is there really a place in the world where sneezing is punishable by death?
Yes, there is, and I'll tell you where it is at the close of today's program.
Okay. Now, what's the topic of your Believe It or Not dramatic sketch, Bob?
It's about the scourge of mankind, lightning.
Lightning? Say, we had a fellow who was a lightning detective on the program only a few weeks ago.
That's right. His name is John Anderson.
He certainly had some incredible stories about lightning.
And today's sketch is the result of those stories.
Oh, how come?
Well, it's always been a great pleasure to me to receive Believe It or Not sent in by members of my radio audience. And very often, I sketch them on the air.
Well, before you present your Believe It or Not dramatic sketch, I'll bet our listeners would be interested in hearing about some of those other incidents that came in as a result of our last program on lightning.
There were all sorts, Greg. One man wrote that he got a complete shave by a bolt of lightning. A woman said she received a permanent wave free of charge. And in Mobile, Alabama, lightning struck a moving streetcar. The flash completely penetrated the car, and when it leaped out the other end, it was found that none of the passengers were hurt, but that the lightning had rung up a 7-cent fare on the meter.
Well, Bob, I'm sure we could go on listening to these lightning flashes for a long while. But I see it's time now for today's Believe It or Not dramatic sketch.
All right, Greg. Today's sketch is the most unusual of all the lightning stories I've ever come across. And I'll present it in exactly 60 seconds. But first, here's a man with a message.
In more than 1,000 American cities and towns this month, people are getting together to see that their communities become happier and healthier places for all who live there. That is the real meaning of the Community Chest fundraising drive. One single appeal each year is made for your donation, for the carrying on of work by such organizations as the Visiting Nurses, the Boy Scouts, the Campfire Girls, the YM and YWCA, and groups which aid the handicapped to become normal members of society. Well, the neighborly services of these agencies and organizations are extended to all who may need them in time of trouble or emergency. Their role in furthering the good of your home community as a whole is of tremendous importance. So when you make a really generous gift to the Community Chest this year, you are being a good neighbor in the true sense of the word. Remember that everybody benefits, everybody gives. And now back to Bob Ripley's Believe It or Not radio auditorium.
Now, Bob Ripley, how about turning to your drawing board and sketching today's Believe It or Not drama for your listeners?
All right, Gregory. Let me draw the scene for you. The time is August 1921. The place, outside the little town of Larned, Kansas. Our scene opens in the living room of the home of Mrs. Lydia McFreeze. Her little daughter, Petty, is staring through a window, watching heavy drops of rain beat against the glass.
Penny! Penny!
Yes, Mother.
Oh, there you are. Penny, what in heaven's name are you doing?
Just watching the rain.
Watching the rain? My land, Penny, you've been in here for an hour, and you haven't done a lick of housework. Now, what do you think you'll accomplish watching the rain?
Parson James says the rain is Mother Nature's tears. She's crying for all the little children that are dying all over the world.
It's an awful thought for Parson James to be putting in little girls' heads.
It isn't an awful thought, Mother. Parson James says it would be terrible if Mother Nature didn't care about little children.
Oh, he does, huh? What else has he been telling you?
He says that lightning is old Grandpa Adam striking a match to light his pipe.
Grandpa Adam?
And you know what the thunder is, Mother?
No, I don't, Penny. And what's more,
Parson James says it's the gnomes in the hills playing tenpins. How do you play tenpins, Mother?
Well, I'm sure I don't know. But I do know I'm going to have a little talk with Parson James about this foolishness he's been putting in your head. My gracious, I can't imagine. Oh, goodness, it's getting late. Now, you get your nose on pressing that window pane and get to work, young lady. Penny, did you hear me?
Yes, Mother.
And while you're at it, I'm going down to have a talk with Parson James. I'll see to it that floor's washed when I come back.
Oh, Oh, well, do come in, Mrs. McFreeze.
Thank you, Parson.
Won't you have a cup of tea with me? I have some water boiling on the stove.
No, no, thank you.
Have a cookie, then. Very good. Martha made them.
Parson James, the reason I came was to have a talk with you.
About Penny?
Yes.
Well, sit down.
Thank you. Parson, Penny isn't acting normal lately.
Penny? Oh, she's a very bright girl, Mrs. McFreeze.
Well, bright or not, she spends half her time dreaming and the other half telling me crazy stories about how the lightning is Grandpa Adams lighting his pipe and how there's a little man who lives in the oak tree in front of our house and he changes into a squirrel. And she has lapses, too. Times when she seems like she's in another world almost.
I see.
Now, Parson, you've got to admit those are crazy thoughts for a little girl.
And you think she gets them from her talks with me, eh?
Well, she says she does. And it's got me worried. Penny ain't behaving normal like other children.
Well, Mrs. McFreeze, Penny is different from many other children.
Well, what do you mean?
Penny is a highly sensitive, imaginative girl. She's in love with nature.
But always dreaming, never helping with the housework.
Mrs. McFreeze, Penny hasn't had the best of life. You've always worked very hard, and perhaps she hasn't had the affection most little girls get.
Well, I haven't had time for much affection, Parson.
I know that. And Penny has tried to compensate for it. She's retreated into a world of her own. The world of nature. She's happy there, and she understands things that neither you nor I ever could. She's a good child, isn't she?
Yes, Penny's a good child.
Well, then I wouldn't worry too much about her. Let her live in her dream world a while longer. The awakening comes all too soon for most of us.
Well, maybe you're right, Parson.
You know I am. Well, the sun seems to be breaking through again.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, Mrs. McFreeze, when you get home, why don't you send Penny over to have a talk with me? Perhaps I can get her to see it from your point of view and help a little more with the housework. All right?
Yes. Yes, I'll send her right over.
All right.
And thank you, Parson James. Well, I'd best be going. Goodbye, Parson James.
Good day, Mrs. McFreeze. And you think over what I've said.
Goodness, Penny's been gone a long time. Oh, now, who in the world can that be? Just a minute. Parson James, where's Penny?
Mrs. McFreeze, may I come in, please?
Well, certainly, Parson. What's the matter? You look so strange.
Mrs. McFreeze, sit down.
Well, what's wrong?
I want you to prepare yourself for a great shock. A very great shock.
Tell me, for heaven's sake. Penny, it's Penny. I sent her over to your place and something's happened. What is it?
Mrs. McFreeze, Penny was walking by the old quarry. She slipped and fell.
Parson James, is she...
The concussion killed her almost immediately.
Oh?
Dr. Brill is bringing her home now.
Oh, Penny. Penny.
Penny McFreeze's funeral was held the next morning. Six pallbearers carried the somber metal coffin in which the child was to be laid to rest. Parson James tried to comfort Mrs. McFreeze as he entered the cemetery and stood beside the grave. Meanwhile, storm clouds gathered on the horizon as if nature herself was protesting the burial of one so young and innocent.
Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, we commend to thy loving care the soul of this little girl, Penny McFreeze. It is fitting that the rain and the wind and the thunder which she loved and understood so well are present at her burial. For she was gifted with a kinship with nature not given to many mortals. The elements were her companions. She understood them. She did not fear them. Her journey from life to death was a short one, because she was from the first closer to God than any of us. Almighty Lord, let your elements sing her eulogy.
Listen to the thunder. It's as if God had heard us.
Lower the
the coffin.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that little girl, Penny McFreeze, was declared officially dead after an accident in which she suffered a severe concussion. She was placed in a coffin and carried to the graveyard. And while the parson was delivering the final benediction in the pouring rain, just as the coffin was being lowered into its grave, a bolt of lightning struck the top of the coffin, knocking it off, and then the greatest of miracles occurred. The little girl, who had been pronounced dead, sat up and called for her mother. The shock of the lightning had revived her from a deep cataleptic state, and she lived again. Believe it or not.
In exactly 60 seconds, Bob Ripley will be back with the answer to today's Believe It or Not quiz question. Meanwhile, here's an important Believe It or Not that concerns you.
Here in America, we all feel pretty happy and secure in our right to speak as we please on political issues, our right to read whatever newspapers and magazines take our fancy, and our assurance of quick trial by jury in case we run afoul of the law. But that is not the case with plain men and women in certain other parts of the world, where the dilemma between economic security and individual freedom has resolved itself in favor of a police state. We Americans still believe wholeheartedly that political democracy and economic security can both be had. But we also know that they must be worked for. Yes, we as individuals must practice democracy in our daily lives. We must also help make the machinery of democracy work better on local, state, and national levels by taking an active part in political affairs wherever possible. This business of freedom is everybody's job. And now for the answer to the Believe It or Not quiz question.
All right, now, let's see how many of our listeners were able to guess the name of the place in the world where sneezing is a crime punishable by death.
Bob, I just don't believe there is any such place. But if there is, heaven help the hay fever sufferers.
Well, they don't suffer for long, Greg. There is such a place, and it's on the island of Badugje, near Java in the South Seas.
Any explanation?
Yes, there is. You see, in Badugje, the common cold is deadly to the natives because they have never built up an immunity to it. So they passed a law against sneezing. The law states that if anyone is caught sneezing, he shall be put to death so that the cold can't be spread, believe it or not.
And now, Bob, it's time for another of those amazing believe it or not farewells. What'll it be today?
There's a saying in the Holy Land that every good deed we do that benefits a child creates a guardian angel in heaven. And in concluding today's Believe It or Not program, let me extend to you, our listeners, the wish of the patriarchs of the Holy Land. May a host of guardian angels accompany you on the pathway through life, and may your ears be filled always with the laughter of happy children.
Believe it or not.
Tune in again tomorrow at this time, and we'll be back with more pages from the radio sketchbook of Bob Ripley. The Believe It or Not show was directed by Ed King and dramatized for radio by George Lefferts and Bob Maley.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.